In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let's pray, O God, to instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, granted by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever joyous. In his consolation, through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Guadalupe, pray for us. St. Joseph,
pray for us.
Paul and Terry,
pray for us.
St. Ignatius,
pray for us.
All God's angels and saints,
pray for us.
Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he said in reply, "Come and the kingdom of God cannot be observed. And no one will announce, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' For behold, the kingdom of God is among you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good evening. So I'd like to return to our reading and our interpretation. The Diary of St. Faustina, we've arrived at number 118. I'd like to read and then I'd like to make a comment on the basic idea in this number 118. Last week we talked about the Sacred Heart. The week before we talked about the importance of silence. Those were the last 2 weeks. Sacred Heart, because it was the feast day of the Sacred Heart. 2 weeks ago, there was a beautiful number on the importance of silence in the spiritual life. We don't have silence, you really can't grow if you don't have silence in your life. Number 118 is somewhat related to silence. And we read, "The tongue is a small member, but it does big things. The religious who does not keep silence will never attain holiness. That is, she will never become a saint. Let her not delude herself unless it is the Spirit of God who is speaking through her, for then she must not keep silent. But in order to hear the voice of God, one has to have silence in one's soul and to keep silence. Not a gloomy silence, but an interior silence. That is to say, recollection in God." And I think we did that. Let's go to 119. Turn to 119. Here it is, yeah. "I tremble to think that I have to give an account of my tongue. There is life, but there is also death in the tongue. Sometimes we kill with the tongue. We commit real murders. We are still to regard that as a small thing. Truly do not understand such consciences. I have known a person who, when she learned from someone that a certain thing was being said about her, fell seriously ill. She lost a good deal of blood and shed many tears. And the tongue was very sad. The outcome was very sad. It was not the sword that did all this, but the tongue. O my silent Jesus, have mercy on us. Okay, what I'd like to do is I'd like to give you 10 rules for speaking, okay? That was the talk that I prepared for all of us tonight. 10 rules for learning how to speak. And I'm not going to give a course on grammar or punctuation or prepositional phrases or split infinitives. I'm not going to be giving that. It's not a course on English grammar, but rather on learning how to speak the way God wants us to speak, how to use our tongue. Okay, first and foremost, in years past, if we were to say a bad word, or our parents would sometimes bring us in the bathroom and wash our mouth out with soap, okay? Well, the idea, maybe the intention was good, but it's not so much the mouth that has to be washed out with soap, but it's the tongue that has to be cleansed, rather the heart that has to be cleansed. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus says that. So you can take your kids or grandchildren into the bathroom and wash their mouth out with soap if you like. I mean, you've got my permission, no? If they, you know, use bad language. But I don't think you're getting to the root cause. So the first rule would be to invite all of you sometime tonight or tomorrow to read the Bible, to read James chapter 3, okay? James chapter 3 is probably the best chapter in the Bible that talks about this topic. And it's not long. Half of it deals with this topic. But it basically says that we should be slow to speak. We should be quick to listen. And he goes on to say that the tongue is a very small member, but it can do a lot of damage. One of the examples he gives is a forest fire is often started by something very small. We have these fires in California almost every year. It's often started just by maybe a cigarette butt, maybe a match, maybe a broken Coca-Cola bottle which turns into a lens which magnifies a dry leaf, and then, you know, it starts the fire. Okay? He also says that the human person can train any animal, but he can't train the tongue. He says also, with the same tongue that we praise God, we end up by cursing our neighbor. So there we are, we're singing Alleluia in the Mass. And we're in the parking lot, someone cuts us off and a litany of ugly words spews out of our mouth. Huh? And it shouldn't be that way. So read and maybe even try to memorize James chapter 3. A very noble and worthy pursuit if we want to learn the art of controlling our tongues. You have to have some rule or some guide. Now don't forget that the same tongue that we speak with is the tongue that receives the host in mass. Very interesting. Body of Christ, amen. And then we end up by saying words that are make the walls blush with shame, huh? Okay, second would be recognize the damage. Recognize the damage that an uncontrolled tongue can do. Yesterday in the gospel, if you went to mass, it was gospel, you shall not kill. We can even kill with the tongue. Yesterday after the 12 o'clock mass, which I had, I was walking back to the rectory to prepare for my radio program that I have at 1 o'clock on Thursday. And a man tracked me down in his car as walking to the rectory. And he said something that really stuck with me. He's in his late 60s. And he said that he made a mistake and someone yelled at him and called him stupid. And he's telling me that as if someone called him stupid 2 days ago. That was 58 years ago. How much impact our words can have on other people. He told me that almost with tears in his eyes, 58 years have passed. Wow. That stuck with me the past 24 hours. I felt sad for him because he couldn't get out of his mind or his heart. Maybe being able to vent a little bit with me helped out in his healing process. I'm reading a book in catechesis, which a little child was had a really hot temper, and his mother said, every time you explode, I want you to go out in the back of the house and I want you to get a hammer. I want you to get a nail. And I want you to pound that nail into a wooden post. So his father was on leave, and 8-10 days in a row the kid exploded. So the mother said, go out now and I want you to take a hammer and nail and I want you to pound in a nail every time you got angry. So the post had 10 nails in it. Father came home, said that what I want you to do is I want you for 10 days in a row not to get angry. And I want you to pull every day the nail out of the piece of wood. So the little boy for 10 days in a row, he didn't lose his temper. And he went with the hammer and he pulled the nail out. He said, look, Dad, no nails in the post anymore. But the father said, no nails in the post, but the holes are still there. The holes are still there. Father Benedict Rochelle, who died about 2 years ago, holy servant of God, who got his doctorate in psychology from Columbia, which is a university in New York City. where my brother studied to get his degree as a doctor, tells the story of a father that's heading toward work. There's a lot of traffic on the way to work, and at work there's a lot of commotion. When he's coming back, there's even more traffic. When he gets back to the house, two of his children are fighting. There's a 10-year-old son, 8-year-old girl, and he opens up the door, and the boy has the hair of the girl, and he's pounding her head against the wall, as sometimes happens in families, no? And the father yells at the son and says, "Get into your room. It would have been better if you were never born." Wife comes out and says, "I've been putting up with these kids all day, and you yell at them," and he yells at her. 15 minutes later, they sit down at the table and have dinner in silence. Father Groeschel says that that boy will not forget that, what his father said, for the next 50 years. Our words have an effect on people. That's the message of St. Faustina today. We'll lay the gospel today. Yesterday was the gospel against the fifth commandment. Today is the gospel of the sixth and ninth commandment, if you went to Mass, okay? Adultery, right? John Bosco said, later as a priest, that he was in the company of a man that told a dirty joke. And he couldn't get that joke out of his mind 40 years later when he was a priest. Our words have an effect on people, for good or for bad. Our words have a powerful effect. When I was in Rome studying Father Greg Staub, who died about 3 months ago, he was ordained 2 years before me with Father John Lyons. No? By the way, Father John Lyons' mother died about a day ago, so maybe pray for John. No, somebody knows Father John Lyons. His mother passed away. She's about 94, but maybe you can offer prayer for her tonight, okay? But I remember when I was studying with Father John and Father Greg and Father Dave Keeter, they're 2 years ahead of me. So as deacons, we were allowed to preach about, depending on the group of deacons, about once every 3 or 4 weeks. I remember once Father Greg Staub was preaching, and he actually took the material for his homily related to this topic from a book written by Father Lavasic. Probably most of you have read all the books by Father Lavasic, right? You know, all those First Communion books of the Lives of the Saints, they're written by Father Lavasic. The book on the Eucharist, Father Lavasic. I think his best was called by Sophia Press. Sophia Press, my publishers, no? And it is called Kindness. I'd all of you to buy that book on kindness. So there's a lot of chapters on ways in which we can be kind, but ways in which we fail in kindness. And this was a story that Father Greg Staub told in the Mass, and then the following morning, all the priests were talking about his homily at the Sunday breakfast. And it was this, Grace. There was once a woman whose name was Sylvia, taken from the book on kindness. She lived in Chicago. She lived a very bad life. sinful life, a scandalous life. But you went through a conversion and moved from Chicago to Los Angeles. She had musical talents, among which one was the playing of the piano, the organ. So she comes to L.A. and she goes to a nearby parish and tells the pastor that she would like to be part of the parish, and if she could offer any services, she'd be more than willing. And one of her gifts was that of music. Pastor said, well, why not? So she played the organ, I think the organ and the piano in the masses, one of the choirs, and she was really good. However, one of the persons that lived in Chicago who knew her transferred to LA and saw Sylvia in the church. And she started to wag her tongue. And started to talk about Sylvia's past. I have two words for this. Slander and calumny. Okay? Another way, character assassination. And for many, many weeks, they really loved Sylvia. Kind, jovial, hard worker, seemed to really mix with the parishioners. But after this, Sylvia noticed there was a change in attitude toward her. People would no longer greet her, no longer any smiles, kind of shunning her and avoiding her, giving her the cold shoulder. Sylvia couldn't understand. So one day she approaches the pastor, and the pastor says, I don't know what happened, but over the past 2 months, no one even greets me. The pastor said, well, you know, someone divulged your past life there in Chicago and they don't want you to be involved anymore in the music ministry. So she fell into depression, and her depression became very intense, and she threw herself off a bridge and she killed herself. See the power of the tongue. So if any of us are taking our spiritual life seriously, I hope you are. Maybe analyze or examine our lives and what is the content of our speech? Maybe even tonight before you go to bed, in the computer you hit the replay, kind of you hit a replay, and rewind maybe the past 15 hours. And rewind the tape recorder of your words. What came out of your mouth? What came out of your heart? But that experience I had yesterday with that man who's in his mid-60s, not too much older than I am, a few years, no? But after 58 years, he still remembers someone calling him a stupid, and he said it with a lot of anger. It happened in the church. happening in the church. I wonder why many Catholics maybe walk away from the church. Maybe we don't always give the example that we should be giving. Maybe we have scandalized people. Probably all of you have heard, I don't want to become a Catholic, they're hypocrites, no? I'm listening to The Imitation of Christ by Kempis. Very demanding. On this topic, he's intransigent. Got to be careful. Got to be careful. One other short story, and this is very short and couldn't be more simple. I remember about a year ago, one day I was going through a lot of desolation. You know what that is? None of you have gone through that yet, have you? No. We all go through it, no. It's part of the human predicament. We all have moments of desolation. But remember that there was one person that did not know I was going through that. She said two or three words to me, and it pulled me right out of desolation, and I had consolation for 40 hours afterward. She said maybe five words, just words of kindness. She wasn't aware that I often have a poker face. It turned out to, you know, I'm in desolation now. Okay. But it's just one phrase she said, something kind, it pulled me out of the gutter and put me on the top of Mount Everest, like a poetic image. And she'll never know it. And I think all of you have had this experience. You may be in desolation, and some person maybe smiled at you, said something kind to you, said a word of encouragement, and pulled you right out of desolation into a state of consolation. Right? And often it's a word or two. Obviously anointed by the Holy Spirit, motivated by the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit, well, he's the one that consoles us. As Paul says, you've been consoled by the Holy Spirit, console others. I've got other stories, you know, Bonnie, I'm a storyteller, right? But I think I've given you enough. Let's move on to the other points of our 10 rules for learning how to speak, okay? Third is this point. All of the words that come out of your mouth, every word, will be subject to judgment one day. Jesus says this. It's kind of scary, I have to admit. So like an image, every time you open up your mouth, your guardian angel places the tape recorder on. Think of it that way. You open up your mouth, your guardian angel is there, okay. Tape recorder on. That's going to be given to Jesus. So. Every word. And here's a biblical verse we should memorize. This is number 4. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So for us to purify and correct our language, The essence of that is the daily purification of the heart. Yes. The daily purification of the heart. Hey, get the bar of soap if you want, okay? But it's really not getting at the root cause. It's a heart that has weeds, malesa, got weeds that have to be eradicated, extirpated, and trashed. Next, I'm going to give you I'm giving you a lot of biblical verses, no? Jesus says, let your yes... Remember the passage? Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond comes from the malignant, the evil one. It doesn't mean that after this talk all of you are going to be deaf mutes, okay? I'm not saying that, no? But we have to speak too. Political philosopher says, so that evil progresses is sufficient that good men do nothing, no? So we also have to speak out, right? Edmund Burke, he was the one who said, so that evil progresses is sufficient that good men do nothing, no? But what Jesus is saying, there are circumstances where sometimes it's better to say very little. Okay, I'll give you an example. Some of you have big families. I come from a big family too. When there are family problems that are complicated, sometimes the best thing is to pull out. Listen to my advice, no? Sometimes the more you try to resolve the problem, the worse it gets. I had a spiritual director years ago that said when there's a serious problem, make a novena to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit resolve it. Who's more eloquent, you or the Holy Spirit? Can't hear you. I'm glad you said that, no? None of us should have a Messiah complex. No? You know what that is? The Messiah complex. No? Fulton Sheen says there are two basic principles in the spiritual life. There is a God and it's not you. Okay? There is a God and it's not you. That's called the Messiah complex. Sometimes a family problem. Pull back. Pray. Fast. Navin the Holy Spirit. And let them resolve the problem. Sometimes that's the best thing. Typical example. Family inheritance, okay? Family inheritance. 8 kids. It's worth $80,000. You know what's going to happen, right? All hell is going to break loose, and they're going to be fighting over that, okay? Pull back, let them fight over it. Let the judges come in, divide it up, and everyone's going to end by hating each other at the end of it. Okay? How sad. That's pretty common. Right, Grace? Very common. So Jesus is saying, If your speaking is going to make the situation worse, yes, yes, no, no, that's it. Yep. Yes, yes, no, no. The Beatles song, right? Hello, goodbye, hello, goodbye, I don't know what. You say yes, I say no. You say go, and I say no, 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 ho, ho, ho. You say hello, and I say goodbye. Okay. Remember the Beatles song, okay? Well, you can apply that to that concept, right? Okay. I thought you'd like that. Okay. Okay, the next point is, I just wrote this down, is the silence of St. Joseph. You know, St. Joseph, we don't have any word of St. Joseph in the whole Bible. You know, that is the most eloquent silence I've ever read. Sounds paradoxical, does it not? Mm-hmm. An eloquent silence. So if you want to learn how to speak, pray to St. Joseph. He'll teach you. Do you believe it? He will. He'll teach you. Of course, St. Joseph did speak, but we don't have any words. But the fact that we don't have any word recorded of St. Joseph is a very eloquent testimony and witness of the holiness of this man who talked a lot to God. We should first talk to God and then talk to other people. That's the motto of St. Dominic Guzman, founder of the Dominicans. No? First talk to God, then talk to others. As we talk to others and we talk to God, it explodes in our face. Okay, next rule. And this is taken from St. James chapter 3. Think. Finish it. Lupe? Think before you speak. So, be slow to speak and quick to listen. St. James, huh? St. Thomas Aquinas once made this very profound observation. A profound thinker, right? He noticed that, he's talking to someone, I noticed that you have two ears and you have one mouth. All of us have two ears and one mouth, right? Is that true? Listen twice as much as we speak. It's interesting also, I like this dynamic. When you're trying to speaking negatively about another, look at your finger. You're pointing, how many fingers at the other person? How many at yourself? Three. So one at others. And three back of yourself. So maybe your friend has a defect, but maybe we have three times more defects than the person we're condemning. Next rule is this. This is what our mothers used to teach us 50 years ago. Ready, Lupe? You don't have anything nice to say. Kind of like that. Don't have anything nice to say, then simply don't say it. Good advice. Let's go back to one of the last fathers of the church, He's known as the mellifluous doctor. Honey mouth. Who would that be, Grace? One of your favorite saints, I think. His name is Saint Bernard, okay? Or it's Stella Maris, some of the most beautiful hymns in the Blessed Mother. Mellifluous, Krista, means honey mouth. That's what it means. No? Chrysostom means golden mouth. St. John Chrysostom. So St. Bernard gives us three principles that we should follow in our speech. I think we'd all do well if we try to obey this. The first is this. When we open up our mouth, first we should accuse ourselves. That's humility. First is self-accusation. Second is open up our mouth to praise God. Very Ignatian, we're created to praise God, reverence God, serve God, and by means of that, to save our soul. And the third is to edify our neighbor. So self-accusation, praise God, and to edify your neighbor. Remember those rules. Very useful rules. Years ago, I was listening to Spanish Catholic radio with listener Father Juan Rivas, who's the founder of Radio Guadalupe. And years ago, 25 years ago, he just had a program at Radio Cali. That was all. They didn't have the radio station up there in El Monte. So he would have an hour a week. It was called Hombre Nuevo. And this was probably 23 years ago. I had been here only a couple of years. And I drive my car. But hey, this guy's interesting. Father Juan Rivas. He told a story, Willie, of this topic that kind of blew me away. And this is what happened. There was a couple. They were married in the church. He's a hard worker. But their biggest cross was that they couldn't seem to have any children. They wanted a family. So years passed, and no children came. And after his work, to relax a little bit, the guy would go to a pool hall. To a pool, billiards, ever do that? Relax a little bit at the end of the day. So one day he comes home and his wife is just ecstatic. She says, hey, finally, after many, many years, we're going to have a kid. Praise the Lord. So the guy, overflowing with joy, he runs to the pool hall, and there is pool buddies. He says, hey, listen, good news. Me and my wife finally, after many, many years, we're finally going to have a child. Now, one of the pool buddies, okay, without thinking, okay, think before you speak, opens up his big mouth, and I say a big mouth, He says this. Hey, you don't even know where that child, you don't even know where that child came from. Wow. Shocked, the man goes back to his house, finds his wife, pulls out a gun, he shoots and he kills his wife with the baby, and he turns the gun on himself and he kills himself. It's a true story. And it's a story that you kind of wake us up to the reality of the impact that our words have on others. Sometimes the danger of, if I can use the word, sarcasm. You know what that is?
Yes.
Using sarcastic, flippant, kind of nonchalant remarks to just throw them out there. I said our words have a powerful effect on others. So because of one offhanded, sarcastic remark, three deaths. A wife and her baby, and the father of that child, because he was the father. So we have to learn how to think, reflect, before we open up our mouth. Now this indeed is very Ignatian. Very Ignatian, because Ignatius wants us not to simply follow our feelings, follow our emotions, follow our sentiments. Ignatius, like Thomas Aquinas, wants us to always try to be guided by faith and reason. And one other word. Faith and reason and charity. We should beg for the grace to be motivated by faith. By faith. Right? By reason. And by? Yeah. Faith. Going up to God. Reason, using our intellect. Always be motivated by love for God and love for others. Okay, the last point I'd like to make, and we're talking about the rules for proper speech, is this. If you read through the Gospels, very often the apostles, they often we see it in St. Peter. He'll open up his mouth and he'll blurt out something. Okay? More than once. No? He opens up his mouth and he blurts out something. One occasion, Jesus says, "I'm heading toward Jerusalem," and our Lord, Peter takes him, he steps to remonstrate with him, say, "Lord, far be this to you, happen to you." And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan, because you're not reasoning according to God, but according to human standards." No? So the point is this. There was a radical transformation only after they made the first novena. I repeat, there was a transformation only after the first novena. For Peter denied the Lord three times. The Lord said, "You, before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times." Yes? What did that novena consist of? Well, there was a place. It was called the upper room. We also call that the cenacle. What took place there? The Last Supper. What took place there? The institution of confession. The upper room. We call it the cenacle. Who was there? The apostles? But who else was there? Blessed Virgin Mary was there. What went on there? There was silence. Silence so that they could listen. There was penance. There was fasting. And then there was prayer. Wasn't a short period of prayer. It was a long period of prayer. 9 long days. After that was terminated, Pentecost arrives. The room shook like there was an earthquake. There was a strong wind. And then there was fire. Tongues of fire descended upon the apostles. And they got up and they were totally transformed. They were given the gift of languages. Languages so that they could preach and teach the word of God. Peter, who denied our Lord 3 times, after the coming of the Holy Spirit, he gets up and he gives his Pentecost homily, his Pentecost sermon. And he ends up by converting 3,000 people in one homily. It was the same tongue, but it was not the same heart. He was transformed by the presence of the Holy Spirit. All of us have to have a renewed Pentecost experience, God dwelling every day. So that our words will not be a source of our condemnation on the day of our judgment. That we will not be condemned by our words. But rather, as a result of our words, our language, our conversation, Jesus will say, "Well done, faithful servant. Well done. Your actions, your words, reflected a deep faith. The use of good reason, but especially your words, were motivated by charity. Charity, which means love of God and love of neighbor." So hopefully as a result of our class this evening and our meditation on 119, all of us will take seriously our tongue. Take seriously the words that come out of our mouth. And may the words of Mary be words of inspiration. Mary said with her words and her heart, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." So let's turn to the Blessed Mother and beg her for the grace to be able to put into practice that. Open up this tongue to accuse ourselves. We're sinners. Open up this tongue to praise God. And open up our tongue so that we will be a source of edifying. What does that mean? To build up. To build up others. Amen?
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, the Holy Spirit. Lady Fatima, pray for us. St. Joseph, pray for us. St. Ignatius of Loyola,
pray for us.
God bless you and have a great week.